This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.
The high point would have been in mountain running, would have been winning the Worlds in Switzerland. That would have been probably the one thing that it did a lot for me personally, and it did a lot for our sport, which I was delighted with. I think after the accident, I remember waking up in hospital and being told that I'd never run again. It never actually sunk in. I didn't really ever believe that. For me, I suppose the starting point really was maybe leaving school at the age of 12, thinking it was a great idea at the time, thinking all my Christmases maybe had come together when I was thought I could stop school at 12. And I suppose maybe 12 months down the line, I realised it wasn't such a good idea. I was finding myself in isolation, cut off maybe from my friends for the first time in my life. The idea of maybe a sporting career or something along that line came into my head just to get me out and involved with the public. It would have been about 1977. I remember my mum telling me one day, there's a race on in Castle Island tonight. She says, you know, why don't you go in and get involved with them and all that. So I went into Castle Island, I ran that road race, and I finished up 7th in that road race out of about, I think there were maybe 40 competed. That was a big step up for me from finishing with only maybe 2 or 3 behind me. I think the local club in Castle Island probably saw something that night as well, a potential that maybe I wasn't aware of at the time. Before I left Castle Island that night, I had signed up the local athletic club. So I suppose from 1977 on, that was when the competitive side really came into it for me. I mean, I started training then and going to races with the club. You know, obviously, each race you went to, there was always a target. You know, you might be winning the races, but you might be finishing 6th or whatever, and you wanted to beat the guy that finished 5th. You went out, you trained, and that motivated you to train as well, you know. Here was something where there was some chance that I might actually end up on a podium someday and get a medal. And I wasn't awfully pushed what type of medal it was, gold, silver or bronze, once I got on that podium. The big step, I think, for me, I suppose, had been when you get that call-up for the Irish team, international duties. That was unbelievable for me. I mean, that was something I would never have dreamt of, you know. I mean, I'll never forget that day being handed the Irish jersey over in the United Kingdom. We competed in a place called Gateshead. That was some experience, putting on the Irish jersey for the first time. The mountain running, I suppose, for me came into my life totally by accident, really. There's no doubt in the world I had a massive love for mountain running, and I have a fierce passion for the mountains, and always had. But I went to the Isle of Man one year to compete in a 3-day event, which was 2 road races and a mountain race. I finished 3rd in both of the road races and won the mountain race quite easily against the same opposition. And I think that was probably the first seed was planted. Maybe I had a future in this other sport that I knew so little about, the sport of mountain racing. I think my second mountain race was actually soon after the Isle of Man. It was a race in Ireland which had £1,000 for the winner up in Sligo. I ended up winning that race. I think that definitely had me hooked on mountain running from there on. So I think my mountain running really kicked off from that period in my life, I think. At the peak of my career, I was running 150 miles a week, definitely running 130 a week, but some weeks 150. I suppose, you know, we're working on the farm with my dad for a number of those years. When dad would head off to the cream in the morning, I would go out and I would do maybe an 8 or a 10 mile run. And in the evening, when the milking was finished, I'd be back out on the road training again, you know. Now, a lot of people was wondering, like, how did you have that dedication? But to me, it didn't feel like dedication at the time. I used to love getting out and running. It wasn't a chore. It was something I looked forward to doing, and I got a lot of enjoyment from it. You know, even I suppose, at another period of my life in 1991, when I won the World Mountain Running, I was working in a factory in Castle Island, the Radiac at the time, and that would mean I would leave home in the morning about 7 o'clock, and I would run to work, get in maybe an hour's running. I would do maybe a detour on the route, and then run home in the evening after work. So I think a number of people would say to me, I've no time to train, I've no time to do this or that, but if you want it bad enough, we'll find a way of doing it, you know. I think I was lucky that I had 2 reasons for putting on the shoes. One, because I loved it. I was probably never happier than when I had that freedom out in the open road, or be it the open hills or whatever. And particularly on the hills, I mean, I could go and I could run for hours on the hills, and absolutely loved it. The other reason, of course, was the motivation, was the competitive side of it. You were in a race last week or the last month or whatever, and some guy beat you, and you're going to do what you can to get in extra training or better quality training or whatever you can to beat that guy the next time out. So that motivates you as well. And that's probably the best motivator of all on a bad winter's night when you hear the rain and the wind outside. Is, you know, you think of the opponents and you think, well, okay, maybe I'm stealing a march on them tonight. I'm getting out and I'm training and maybe they're not, you know. And that type of mentality. And I think a lot of these things as well is mind games. You know, you have to convince yourself that you're gaining an upper hand or you're gaining a little step up on the opponent any way you can, you know. The accident, I was just come home from being in Borneo for a couple of weeks and I was having trouble adjusting to the sleep pattern. I decided, well, in my wisdom or whatever, I decided I'll go out and I'll run up Cairn Toul today and I'll be tired and I'll sleep. Unfortunately, I didn't tell anybody I was going up there and I got caught in very bad weather crossing the Cahar Ridge and I was in shorts and I suppose legs may have gone a bit numb or part of the cold. I'm not too sure, but certainly the signal didn't travel to my brain quick enough anyway, and I put my foot in a hole and I broke my ankle. After that, I think it's well documented. It was a long 5-hour battle to get myself out of there that evening. The following year then, I think after the accident, I remember waking up in hospital and being told that I'd never run again. It never actually sunk in. I didn't really ever believe that. I won my first race again on the 1st of January, New Year's Day, which was something I had been hoping to do, to win the first race of the new millennium in Kerry. So I think I was just off the crutches about 3 weeks at that stage, and it was a great kickstart again. The following June, I came back and I won the Cairn Toul race. That will probably always stand out to me as being a huge milestone for me, because I really had to fight my demons that day as I lined up for that Cairn Toul race, because I had never been back to that Cahar Ridge where I had had the accident previous November. I had never been back there. This was my first time actually, and I was going back into a competition. And it does play a trick with your mind, it does play a trick with your head. You know, there's no point saying otherwise. When I was on the Cahar Ridge that day, I really had to fight those demons. I won that race that day, and I think, looking back on that, that was a huge milestone for me, and that's something that will always stand out as well, that particular June race in the year 2000. For me, running up a mountain, in a word, it was joy. It was something about it that I relished the challenge. I don't think I was taking on the mountain. I was probably embracing the mountain more than taking it on, more than challenging it. It was just, for me, it was just a love and enjoyment that I got out of that. I just had a love for that type of wilderness type terrain. Probably, as I say, probably never at my happiest as when I was racing across the mountain. It is fabulous, and there's a lot of people out there have realised the joy of mountain running in recent years as well. Running through the headers, running by lakes, through streams and things like that. It's a fabulous thing to do, you know. Looking back on it now, you kind of feel, well, you know, I've been very fortunate. I've been very lucky and been very fortunate. And my greatest hope at this stage is some of those achievements or what I did will motivate other people. It's very easy for somebody to come along and maybe win an Olympic gold medal, and youngsters will look at them and say, well, okay, they were winning races from the age of 5 up. I was quite the opposite to that. I was getting beat. I was coming last and second last in races and yet went on to win a world championship. And I hope that would motivate youngsters out there who might not be outstanding at their sport at 9 and 10 and 11 years of age. But what can be achieved if you believe in yourself and if you're dedicated to your training, I think it's possible.